Folks, are you tired of people telling you your band is too darn loud when you're just trying to practice in your house or garage? Well, if you live in Austin, I have the solution for you. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. They have 31 spacious rooms, great PAs, fantastic courteous staff. They have everything you need to get your artistic business together at Space. Find them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com and start playing as loud as you want in Space Rehearsal and Recording. Let's get down. Hey gang, let's face it, you're probably listening to this show and all of your other shows on your phone. Are you tired of filling up your phone with all of your favorite podcasts? Well, try Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is an app that allows you to stream thousands of shows right to your smartphone or pad. Download it for free at Stitcher.com or find it in your app store. Get the best in comedy, entertainment, science, sports, news, everything you want right there on Stitcher. Just go to Stitcher.com or find the app in your app store. I use Stitcher Smart Radio and I love it. That's Stitcher Smart Radio. Smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get down. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week, whatever it is you did this week. Gang, this show is coming out a day late because I had a rough Thursday. Normally, I do the intro for the shows on Friday and Thursday, and I was very excited to do the intro on Thursday because I went and saw a couple of bands play on Wednesday night, and I was all excited. I was like, cool, I'm going to go see Ryan Harkrider at Wero's. He's doing the Sun Radio thing. Then I'm going to cruise over to Far Out Lounge and watch Stone Wheels at their record release. I was very excited about all this. I did it all. It was really fun. I had a couple of cocktails while I was out with my girlfriend, Terry. We just had a great time. Went and saw bands, and it was like the old times. And I woke up on Thursday morning, and I didn't feel great. And it wasn't from drinking. I just didn't feel great. Something was off. And then about an hour and a half or so after I woke up, I just needed to lay down, just feeling nauseous. And then I just started throwing up and doing other stuff that you have when you have like some kind of stomach bug or bad food situation. Had the double whammy coming out of both ends. Not at the same time, thank God. But throughout the day, I was just expelling stuff from my body in a violent, violent way. And I slept most of the day when I wasn't doing bathroom stuff. I was sleeping and woke up yesterday on Friday to do this intro, or got up on Friday and I was going to do this intro. I tried it a couple of times, but I just sounded miserable. Like, you know, after a whole day of like stomach stuff and like expelling everything from your body, it's almost like your body declares a mandatory cleanse one day. That happens to me every few years. That scenario happens to me every few years. One day I just wake up and I am blowing out of every orifice and trying to keep it together and then wiped out for the next day. So I was wiped out all day yesterday. Watched Casablanca. I watched a documentary on Cream Magazine, which was really great. And yeah, so now I'm doing the podcast. So I must say, I did go out on Wednesday night. Terry and I went out. We had a great time, man. We saw Ryan Harkrider over at the Sun Radio show. It was great to see Kevin. Great to see David Arnsberger's back after a year and a half of being gone. It was great to see him there. Great to see Kevin after not seeing him in over a year. Great to see Ryan Harkrider. And then, we headed over to Far Out Lounge. Great show by Stone Wheels, such an amazing band. Their brand new album, From the Forest to the Sea, out now. You heard my conversation with Andrew Gerfers from the band on Tuesday. Great conversation, great band. It was a great night. I'm sorry that I woke up on Thursday. I think I scared the shit out of Terry too, man. Like, she took off. She was like, all right, see you later, buddy. She brought me some stuff. She brought me like some Gatorade and some saltines and some Sprite. But when someone's in a situation like that, especially like when you first start, you can't really be around that and be expected to be attracted to that person anymore. You know, it's pretty sad. Anyway, things are still good. and yeah, anyway, I'm excited to put this podcast out. I'm actually going out to Sagebrush because Terry's doing a pop-up today for their four-year anniversary. If you're listening to this on Saturday, I think it's the 23rd or the 24th of April, from 3 to 6 or 3 to 7 over at Sagebrush. My girlfriend Terry will be doing a pop-up hair thing. She'll be cutting people's hair in a pop-up fashion. I don't really know what I'm saying. There's going to be music there and all kinds of stuff. I'll be hanging out too. Anyway, I'm glad to be back. I'm glad I made it through Thursday. Those days are harrowing. It's weird to think that your body can hold you hostage like that and just kind of like be like, hey, buddy, there's nothing going on. You're just doing this and sleeping, and that's it. Mandatory master cleanse, man. That's what my body decides on every few years. Hey, guy, we need a mandatory master cleanse. You've been eating too much weird stuff. Probably too many tacos. I think I've eaten more tacos over the last month than I've eaten in my life. Really. I mean, just a lot of tacos. Anyway, I'm glad to be back. I'm glad I'm feeling good. I'm glad it's Saturday. It's a gorgeous day here in Austin. Gang, I have a great show for you today. Hip-hop artist Chris Conde is my guest. Their brand new album, Engulfed in the Marvelous Decay, is out now. It just came out a couple of weeks ago on Fake 4 Incorporated Records. You can find them at chrisconde.com. Great conversation about growing up a military brat, presenting their queerness to the hip-hop culture without any sort of abandon. Chris is a very, very inspiring person, a very inspiring artist. Their flow is absolutely fantastic. We spoke, they were in Santa Cruz, California. We spoke over Zoom and had just a really great conversation about their journey as an artist and as a person, as a recovering drug addict, as a recovering religious person, as a recovering military brat. A lot of stuff they're going through right now. That's what's happening. Great conversation with Chris. This is a fantastic album with a theme of healing and becoming whole. He hit the nail on the head with it. It's absolutely fantastic, and I hope that you enjoy getting to know this amazing artist as much as I did. Please enjoy my conversation with the amazingly talented Chris Conde. Let's get down. Are you in Austin?
I'm in Austin. I'm in Santa Cruz right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I live in Austin, but I'm okay. In Santa Cruz. Yeah.
What are you doing in Santa Cruz? Living the dream?
Yeah, I'm just visiting. I've just been super busy with this album promotion, and I'm just like, you know what? I just need to get out of town for a couple days, go to the beach, you know, and just like hang out, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it out there.
Yeah,
I've been going there since I was a kid.
Yeah, no, it's like, I don't know, magical. I moved around a lot growing up, and like out of the places that I've traveled to, like all around the world, I'm like, I just want to come to Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Let me ask you this. This record, Engulfed in the Marvelous Decay, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it has, there's an aggression to, your flow.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I love it. Your chest is puffed out when you're, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, totally.
It's very cool. And it gets your message across really well. But the music also, like the tracks, are fucking kicking.
Yeah, thank you.
And one real quick question. Is the intro the beginning of Cancel Culture Blues? Is that based on Iron Man?
I don't know. I didn't write that beat. I'd say like the majority of this album was produced. I had other producers work on.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, but I'm not sure. I don't think Kristen. Yeah. But I could see that.
That bam thing in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though it's electronic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just made me think
she definitely has like her.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no. I mean, she may have referenced that, but I definitely think it was just like, she's got, you know, a noise rap history in her production. She's got a group called Moody Black. And so there's definitely some like rock and roll texture to what she does.
That's very cool. But,
I'm not sure. Yeah.
When you did this record, you said you did it with different producers doing different beats. When did you write these songs?
I wrote the majority of them last year. I lost my job. I was the music editor for the San Antonio Currents, and on top of like, you know, doing my whole rap thing. And so I didn't know how I was going to pay rent. And so I just put on social media, hey, I want to, you know, if you need a feature, let me know. And so I just started writing every single day. And then when I was done writing the features, I was like, well, I just might as well just keep writing, keep producing since I've got, you know, I'm on a roll. And I wrote, you know, like about 15, 16, 17 songs. And, you know, like you picked the best ones, you know, and but I'd say, like 100, at least 95% of the songs were definitely from last year.
Wow. Do you feel like, are you part of like whatever hip hop scene is happening here in Austin?
I'm slightly connected to some folks. Me and what's his name? Ben Beatbox.
Oh yeah. Remember. Ben Buck.
Yeah, Ben Buck. That's right. Yeah. I'm like Ben Beatbox, but yeah. We've done some stuff together. And then Flo Bama. I've done some stuff with him. But yeah, it's weird because like I get booked with like, I either do like queer parties.
Right.
Or I'm doing like experimental noise electronic stuff, you know? And I don't know why that is, because I'm like, I'm a rapper, you know, I feel like I do hip hop, even though it's not maybe, you know, straightforward hip hop. It's stuff I'm rapping over music, you know?
But don't you feel like, you know, it's almost like, it's almost like the same level of male sort of domination and like cock rock, for lack of a better word, is that attitude in there that where your angle, where you're coming from is a completely different fucking place than they are, where they should be accepting. Right.
Yeah, but I mean, I definitely have felt, you know, I moved to Texas in 2008, you know, and it wasn't until 2015 or 16 did I actually start getting booked for hip hop shows, you know, and I think people were afraid and maybe discriminatory because I, you know, am openly and outwardly queer and talk about it from the stage and like my stage show, like I'm often taking off my clothes and like, it's a mix of like Madonna and like, you know, hardcore punk, you know, that's, it's, you know, kind of sexually charged, but it's more, I feel like it's just more aggressive and in your face than anything, you know. But I think that maybe didn't feel, maybe I felt like I didn't fit the vibe, or maybe other promoters felt like I wouldn't fit the vibe for like a straight up rap show with a bunch of straight guys, you know?
Okay. Two things. One of the things is I haven't seen much, but I've seen your pictures. I've watched whatever videos I can. I've never seen you perform live. I would love to. But I feel like what you do isn't as sexually charged as it is freedom. Like, you know what I mean? Charged, like self-expression in a way that you can be exactly who you are and fucking take it or not. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what it is. But I think people misconstrue that with like, oh, he's taking his clothes off. You know, it's like some gay sex thing. And it's like, it's not, you know, it's basically like, it's somewhat of a metaphor, you know, that I've been trying to be, you know, skinny and straight and white and all these different things that I could never fit into, you know? Yeah, and then I was just like, well, fuck, dude, I'm a fat Mexican American drag queen rapper, and I'm not going to try and be anything else but me, you know? And that's what I feel like comes across the most.
Well, right. So what bums me out then is it's so hypocritical, because in a world where people are saying like, oh, you know, they're talking about their individuality and trying to stand out and be individual. And here's someone that really fucking stands out and is individual.
Yeah.
And it scares them. Like, how the fuck are they going to be? How are they scared? Like the regular hip hop community, you know?
Yeah. And I think that it's definitely not everybody, obviously, you know, like I've been able to be somewhat successful, like, you know, on a regional level, and have, you know, toured and like played shows around, you know, the United States. And there are people who like see me as an artist, and, you know, seeing me as an artist and that my medium is hip hop and that this is my expression, you know? And I think, you know, Bushwick Bill from the Ghetto Boys, like I played a show with him, you know, before his passing, you know, and I remember I played, my set was right before his. And I was talking about how I'm, you know, an openly queer person, and it's important for me to say that from the stage, especially in like hip hop spheres, because it lets people know that like we exist in all different places. Like, queer people are everywhere, even in hip hop shows. And I handed the mic to Bushwick Bill, and, you know, he was like, that's what's up. That's who, you know, like, and he basically just, you know, echoed my sentiment, like, hip hop is about your journey, you know, and telling the life how it is. And I'm like, that's so dope, you know?
Right.
And so I feel like there are people who definitely like understand and see me as a legitimate hip hop artist, you know, but but I think, especially now getting more attention, you know, I think it's like there's less and less people who are trying to like, I don't know, shit on me, basically.
Well, fuck them. Because I think I think you're incredibly legitimate. And thank probably you. One of the most legitimate hip hop artists I've gotten to speak to.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I'm very, it shouldn't be viewed as courage. People should feel like you do. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of people can't. And what you're doing is you're opening the door for those that don't feel like they can. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. And I think that that is my message, I think, is freedom, you know, and to be able to do whatever you want to do. You know, I thought when I first started playing shows that my audience was going to be mostly queer people, or mostly like queer Latinx people or queer youth. And I started playing these, especially, I remember playing a show at Barracuda, you know, with this group called Shredders. And, you know, I remember like a couple dudes came up to me. They're like, I'm just a regular straight white dude, and I don't have any drug problems, or I'm not gay, and I connect with what you're saying, you know? And I was like, oh yeah, this is a universal theme. Hope is universal. Freedom is universal. You know, I'm just telling it from my perspective, you know? Yeah. And that's kind of what was popping out in my lyrics when I sat down to write. It's just like, freedom coming, you know, from behind the chains of internalized homophobia, you know, and I've been sober for like 7 years. So some of that pops up, you know, into my writing, you know, and but yeah, it's a universal thing, I think.
Yeah. I did read someone said that there's a theme of love and a theme of healing and becoming whole in your music. And I totally agree about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely what, yeah. And I think that's part of my live show too. You know, I think like on a metaphysical level, I think that, you know, especially playing live, it's like I miss doing it because it's part of like who I am as an artist and being able to be on stage. And like, as musicians, we like literally are like putting vibrations out there, and like matter is just molecules, like little atoms and electrons, like vibrating around each other. And music is like pushing that. And like, you are literally being changed by these like vibrations. And especially since I feel like if artists are doing something that's coming from their heart and coming from like a real place of authenticity, there is a sense there. It's something, and I think people can sense it on a different level. And so when I'm able to put that out there, I think on stage, people leave changed, you know, and people leave having had an experience. And that's something I miss, you know. But yeah, I think you're right. You know, it's I want to put that healing and that, I don't know, that vibration into the world. And, you know,
that's cool, man. So, 'cause I can only imagine. So you grew up a military brat. Your parents are both in the Air Force, or were in the Air Force? Or?
My mom and my stepdad were both active duty, and then they divorced each other and then remarried other people who were active duty. So I had like two sets of parents like that would be flying all over the world. And so, yeah. So like when I was living in Japan, my other parents were like in Korea. So I'd go and like visit them, you know. But so, yeah, I grew up moving around a lot.
Grew up with some frequent flyer miles, man.
Yeah. Got to go a lot of places.
So I'm Cuban, and yeah. I can only imagine that in that culture, exacerbated by sort of the military aspect of it, our culture is very divided in the sexes. There's no middle ground.
Yeah.
They're not big fans of coming out and telling them who you really are. And you came across some of that, right?
Yeah. You know, I definitely think that, you know, with my own parents, like my dad's Mexican and my mom is Lithuanian. And so, you know, with my dad and that side of the family, like, I think there is this machismo culture, right? That comes that's like basically like, don't be a girl.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, yeah. Like, do it like a man.
You're a boy. Don't be like a girl.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, like, don't be like a drag queen or, you know, any of that. But I think it got to the point with my parents, like, that it was mostly, you know, I came out when I was 13, and that was like 2000, 2001. And all they knew of like gayness and queerness was HIV, you know, like they were afraid that I was going to get sick, you know, and I knew that eventually, you know, like years later, I understood like that's where they were coming from, you know. But I think, you know, like even when I moved to Texas in 2008, I was in a hardcore band, you know, and there were people who wanted to hurt me because I was gay, you know, and I was openly gay. And I would be like, if you have a fucking problem with me being gay, like fucking come find me. And like people would want to, yeah. You know, like I remember we played a show and my band was like rushed me into a van. They're like, dude, we got to go. And I'm like, what the fuck? What? You know, and they're like, dude, the group of dudes like want to kick your ass. And I was like, why? They're like, 'cause you're gay, dude. And you're, you know, and I'm like, that's like, this is 2008. Like what, you know, how is this still happening? You know, but So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I definitely haven't had anybody want to hurt me because no one's written me that or sent me a message. I haven't gotten that in a long time, you know, but.
Well, I think also that we live in a world now where you don't have to be exposed to anything you don't want to be exposed to unless you really want to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. And
like news wise, everything. Like you can watch news that tells you exactly what you want to hear, no matter what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. No. So I just, especially like in my 30s, like I just don't entertain it anyway. I don't have the time. I don't have time to entertain like negativity. I've got too many things to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, in your teenage years, you were in a hardcore band. Were you always interested in doing something in music or?
Yeah. So I didn't really start. I got into my hardcore band when I was like in my early 20s, but I was in like rock and roll bands in high school and stuff and played bass. And it was a mix of like, you know, punk and hardcore and rock and just new metal, you know, but I knew from an early age that I wanted to be a performer. I remember like when I was little, I have a memory of me being a little kid and like me like running around naked at my cousin's house being like, I'm gonna be a stripper, you know. So maybe that carried it. But I always wanted to put on a show, you know, and whether that was like, you know, Michael Jackson, I was a huge fan of Michael Jackson. You know, I learned how to moonwalk, you know, I got my first guitar. My parents got me a bass guitar when I was like 13. And I just learned like all the Rage Against the Machine songs I could learn and, you know, whatever. And so I was really drawn to it, but,
what do you think? Yeah. What do you think it was that drew you to that? Because that is such a, like, macho kind of culture, that hardcore and even punk.
Yeah, I think just the aggression, you know, like I have a lot of like childhood trauma, you know, and like I you know have gone to therapy for years to like get through it, but I think like having undiagnosed alcoholism on top of like surviving, you know, sexual abuse as a child and like sexual assault and all that stuff. Like, I think I needed to have noise in my head to make me like feel different or to not think about things. And so I was very drawn to really heavy and aggressive music, you know? And I don't know if that's like, I mean, I know people who don't have any trauma in their lives who like metal, you know, but I think for me, it was like soothing. Even today, like I listen to like atmospheric black metal, like just like basically just like, you know, blast beats and I fall asleep to it, you know, and I don't know if that's my ADD or what.
Well, it's also interesting because there are different sort of like responses to trauma. I think I fall more in like the Brian Wilson musical. Like,
yeah.
I never went into the aggressive thing, although I appreciate it and I love it. That wasn't where I went with my sadness and trauma.
Yeah, yeah.
I maybe it was self-soothing to make things sound beautiful while you're going nuts.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think like the heavier, you know, I found solace in like Nine Inch Nails, you know, and just like the textures and even like, I remember I was like headed to New York a couple months ago and I like took some CBD gummies and I like put on some like really good headphones and I just listened and I gave like the Downward Spiral like a good listen. But again, like a real like thoughtful, you know, and I was like, damn, like no wonder I got into this as a kid, you know, like this is so heavy and melodic and like some really interesting things happening, like he's switching into different modes, you know. I'm like, oh my gosh, like he's going from like Mixolydian, now he's in Lydian, like in the same song, and then, you know, just like doing lots of really cool stuff. And you know, I think like my head, I think looking back as a kid, you know, I think I saw also like Aphex Twin, you know, I got into Aphex when I was like 16, you know, and that glitch and like that, like, you know, having something noisy and distracting.
There's some tracks of yours that remind me of the aggression of like even some of the sounds of Prodigy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think American Faggot definitely has.
Yes,
like,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I was like, we were recording it, and I wrote that beat, I think, maybe in 2019, and I just never had anything for it. And then we went to go record in the studio, and I was like, dude, did I just like rip a Prodigy song? And I was like, I'm a Firestarter, Twisted Animator. I was like, yeah, it's basically Firestarter by Prodigy. Obviously, it's a different thing, you know, but it definitely has like, I love Prodigy too. So I'm so glad it kind of came out in that a little bit, you know. But yeah, it's funny, like listening to this record and hearing like all this, I mean, all these influence. I mean, there's like screaming and guitars on it,
right,
and like
right.
glitched out sounds and, you know, like that, whatever light, I mean, light repeating at the very beginning is like me just doing these, like, I don't know, basically like, it's basically like a madrigal, you know, it's like, you know, this different melodies repeating, interweaving each other, you know, and yeah, it's weird. It's a weird record, but I think it's cohesive, you know?
Yeah, man. It is cohesive because the tracks do match the level of your flow, of your rapping. Mm. I always feel like I'm a 52-year-old, like, you know, dude when I'm talking about hip hop with people.
Your rapping is
so good, my friend. I can't tell you. I love it so much.
I'm reluctant to tell people that I'm even a rapper because sometimes I feel like, you know, like, what is that? What are people's first reference in their head when they think, oh, rapper, you know what I mean? Like, I'm probably not doing what they think I'm doing, you know? Yeah, so yeah. I usually just say like, I'm a musician, I'm an artist, you know, like whatever, not to say that rap isn't art and whatever, you know, but like for context, it's just like, just here, listen to my song. Maybe it's rap to you. Maybe it's not, you know, but I understand what you're saying, but yeah, I'm,
yeah. Can I ask you, how long have you been in Austin?
I lived there back in 2007, and then I just moved back like a couple months ago.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, but I've been playing shows up there for like 10 years.
Okay.
You know,
I always try and have this conversation with people that are in hip hop here, is that how, What's happened to Austin hip hop wise that it never had like a sound? Like I've watched these documentaries like Hip Hop Evolution. Do you ever see that?
No, I've heard. Yeah. Oh yes, actually, yeah. I just watched that.
It goes like town to town, and each town had its scene and had its sound, and I mean, Houston's had it almost a couple of times.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nothing's ever come together in Austin.
Yeah, but neither San Antonio or even Dallas, you know. Houston is like, Houston did such iconic things, I think, for the time and place that they were at, you know, with, you know, DJ Screw, and I think that I think also Austin is overshadowed, I think, by so much rock and roll that I think people are not thinking to look for hip hop, even though there are amazing, you know, hip hop artists here. And like, honestly, I think that there is an audience for it, you know, but I think that's like, you know, I've had experience with like different promoters that don't promote rap shows like they would, you know, someone like, I don't know. Insert
right.
good indie rock, or indie rock band here. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
I feel like there's less people wanting to like promote hip hop, even though there are like people doing really great things, you know. But and so I don't know. But San Antonio was the same way, you know, like there'd be a lot of people wanting to do things, but it's like there wasn't a lot of support for it, you know, not like I saw with like the indie rock scene or the alt country scene.
Right.
You know, like one of my homies, Garrett T. Caps, you know, he is like blowing up and it's awesome. And I'm so stoked for him. Like I'm stoked for any of my friends that like are doing amazing work and are getting recognized for it. But I definitely see genres that are, you know, continually overlooked. And I think hip hop is definitely one of them in South Texas, especially.
Yeah. I'm in a band that played Sam's a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only real thing I really... There are places I've played before in San Antonio, but never, like, regularly.
Yeah.
You wrote for The Current? You said?
Yes.
You were the music editor?
Yeah.
How'd you do that? What?
I don't know. I didn't go to journalism school. I didn't, you know... I was just really involved in the scene, you know? I moved there in 08 and started playing shows like nonstop, and was in my hardcore band. And then I was doing my rap thing, and I was able to do a lot of cool stuff. Like I opened up for like Circus Survive and they asked me to like finish tour with them, but I was too strung out on meth. You know, like all I wanted to do was like play shows and drink and do drugs. You know, and I had friends that wanted to do that too. And so, yeah. I mean, it was just like, you know, it was partying. It was like playing shows and being artists and like getting creative and doing mushrooms at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
You know, like my life for a long time until, you know, I started bartending and got into like cocaine and meth. And when it went down hard really quick. But, you know, so I, you know, kept playing shows and I got sober. And I started the first gay radio show there called Queer Vibes. It's on 91.7 KRTU. And started different little things to try and like put spotlights on the marginalized communities in San Antonio. And I felt like there wasn't a lot of queer like artists getting enough attention, you know, and I really just try to like work in that community and to, you know, give platform to the people there. Cause there were just amazing artists. I felt like that weren't getting recognized. And I started, you know, doing that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, I started doing some freelance work for The Current and then did it for like a year. And then they just offered me the job and they're like, hey, like we need a music editor, like you write. And I was like, yeah, I don't, what? Like I'm good at like, I don't know. It kind of took me by surprise, but I wasn't going to turn down a job because I was done working in a coffee shop.
Yeah. You know? I understand that.
But, yeah. And then I started doing it and it was great. And I did it for like 4 years and, got to review some amazing shows, got to go to ACL and, you know, Day for Night and, you know, like see some really cool stuff. And, yeah, then I got back from Maryland in the beginning of 2020 back in March and like lost, you know, they just couldn't afford to keep me on. It was, you know, it's a free magazine, you know, like supported by ads. And yeah. So it's like, it went down to like the editor and then like one other person,
right.
So I get it, you know, but yeah. So that's kind of like how I got into it. And I have a column for My Essay now.
Okay.
And so I do that like every other week, put a little story together, kind of keep my foot in San Antonio a little bit.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Are you going to play any shows or anything? Do you have anything planned?
I have a live stream this Friday. It's just kind of got finalized. My Adrian, who connected us, I feel so bad because like I'm just like sending her like album assets and like just random stuff, like all randomly. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I'm like literally just getting things. Like I'm sending her things as I get things.
Sure.
But yeah, we just finalized this album live stream. It'll be on my label's Twitch account at twitch.tv/fake4. So it'll be this Friday, 7 p.m.
Okay, but this won't be out for a couple weeks though. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Do you plan on doing more?
Yeah, I plan on trying to do as many like shows as possible. I mean, I've been asked to do in-person shows already, and I'm kind of like, I don't know how I feel about yet.
Sure.
You know, like, 'cause as much as I want to get back on stage, I don't know if it's like super safe to yet, you know, and I don't want to like be a part of a super spreader event, you know.
I know exactly what you mean.
You know, I'm vaccinated and I know that other people are vaccinated and are in the process of it, you know, but to answer your question, yeah, I'm going to be doing some more live streams to promote this album. And then when things are safe, you know, I'm ready to get back on stage, you know?
Yeah. Where are the places that you were playing before this? You said you played here in Austin. Was it like Empire and like?
Empire, Barracuda, Mohawk, Cheer Up Charlie's. Those were kind of like the main ones,
yeah.
You know, but a lot of like, I often got shows with Margin Walker, you know, so like that tier, you know, sort of venue.
They closed, right?
Yeah. Margin Walker's not, they are done. Yeah. It's kind of wild. But Barracuda closed too. Yeah. I don't know about Cheer Up. I don't really know what is even around anymore, you know? Which is super sad, but
I know that I've been to some things. I actually went to a hip hop show with, I forgot one of the guys' names, but you know, DZ Brown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went and saw him. It was a couple months ago at Far Out.
Okay.
They had a pretty good setup. It's outside. The tables are, you know, they got the rules. And I've seen the Empire, the way that they have their thing set up seems pretty smart.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, as long as the venue is going to, as long as I understand like clearly what the precautions they're taking, then I'm cool with that, you know? But, I want to make it sure that it's safe and that people do feel safe and feel comfortable, you know? 'Cause I know people are eager to come back to like see live music, you know? I mean, we saw just how eager people were getting, you know, like when the governor opened everything. I just recently moved I live off of Cesar Chavez and Pleasant Valley area.
Oh, and neighbors.
And it was, I was just like, there are a lot of people. Like I like was like riding my bike past Lou's and I was like, there are too many people at Lou's right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I'm just like, and it's not, you know, and I feel bad for like restaurants because it's like, yo, they need business too. But I'm also like, I don't want to be around that many people. And that seems like way too many people to be around right now, you know?
Right.
So
I've been trying to do some places, but also like safely, you know what I mean? Like smaller, or bigger, less crowded places that I don't go to, like those Sixth Street places that are like, everyone's just licking the floor and shit like that. Yeah. I got sick, man. I did this band I'm in, like, you know, we had these gigs last year that were like these weddings and we kept their deposit and paid ourselves because we lost all these gigs. Yeah. So we had to play these reschedules over the last couple of weeks. And I got vaccinated like a week and a half ago. I get vaccinated, did my second one next week. But
nice.
It scared the shit out of me, man. One of them was in a country club and it was like, it was Texas people that go to a country club that are like Greg Abbott people. And you're just like, oh God. I mean, I kept my mask on except for when I was singing lead, but it's freaky.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah. No, I was in an Uber the day of the mask mandate being canceled, not being canceled, but it being done.
Right.
And, this guy, my driver, was like, you don't need to wear your mask. You know, like, you don't have to do that anymore. And I'm like, okay, I'm good. You know, just like, dude, why are you so just like, let me wear my mask. Stop telling me what to do. You know, like, but yeah. I don't know. It is wild. I get people are done. You know, people don't want COVID to happen and to be here anymore. But I'm just like, we got to be like less selfish, guys. You know, like, it's not just about you.
I know.
And how healthy you are, you know, right, and right. I don't think people now are not seeing that. So,
right. Well, it's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Neither do I. But yeah, so we'll see. We'll start playing shows. I mean, I'm starting to see people being on tour and post their tour flyers and stuff. So it's like, man, we're going to be back to playing music sooner than later. And so, you know, let's just like do our best to do what we can towards the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
when you play live, is it you and a DJ or just you?
No, it's usually just me and a computer. Like, I just put my computer down and then, you know, like, I'm just running around the stage screaming and taking off my clothes, basically. So
the dream came true from when you said you wanted to be a stripper when you were running around naked when you were a kid.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I didn't always take off my clothes when I rapped, but I got asked to play some show with like some drag queen friends of mine back in San Antonio and back before COVID. And so they wanted me to open and I'm like, cool. And so it's like some hole in the wall bar, dive bar, sports bar. And I'm like, this is the last place a drag show should be, but that's fine. And so this game is on, it's like this football game is on. And, sports ball game is playing and then some birthday party is happening and they're like, you need to start your set. And I was like, okay. And so like, I put the music on, no one's paying attention. And I just take out, and I was like, I was wearing a leather jock strap because it was like laundry day. And it was like my last, you know, I had my combat boots on. And so I just took my clothes off and just like, just got in everyone's faces and started walking across tables, like rapping at people naked. And I was like, this works. you know, I was like, I don't care if your football is happening. I'm getting naked and rapping at you, you know?
So. Yeah. Do you, Chris, do you ever miss like the air that's moved on stage by a band? Hey, Adrian Lake is here. Oh, hey, we started before her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She was just going to listen on.
Oh,
listen in.
Oh shit. Yeah. We undercut her. I'm going to tell her it's your fault.
Oh yeah, she just said, "Oh crap! Well, I guess I missed that."
Well, you can still listen to the rest of it. The question I was going to ask you is that being in bands and like rock bands with like instruments being played on stage, there's a certain amount of air being moved, which is mm-hmm. is something that I've grown used to in all of my years of being in bands since I was a kid. That it's mm-hmm. difficult for me to get my head around stuff just coming out of a monitor, not having a kick drum and a bass amp and those kind of yeah. things on stage. Does that change kind of what you're doing, or is what you're doing just more of a performance art thing than what you were doing in a band?
I used to think when I would write, I used to watch rap shows and think this is the most boring fucking thing I've ever seen, you know? Cause it's like some dude on a mic,
yeah.
you know, just like walking around. And so I made a conscious decision to never, ever be like that. And that means like me throwing up after a set because I like wore myself out running around stage, like then so be it, you know? But I think I used to have a folk rap band called Chris Conde and the Ghost Electric Orchestra. And I played banjo and rapped and we did like 3-part harmonies and had like, you know, post-rock vibes and folk vibes. It was fun. But like I feel like I don't really need the band anymore. You know, I feel like me being, you know, like having just me up there and just like putting out my energy and being able to control the flow and me being in 100% control of it, you know, maybe someday, you know, but like, I think right now, like, I love being able to just be like, do whatever I want when I want to and not being worried about a bandmate's like feelings.
Yeah, totally. You know, I understand. Right now. Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah.
Are you inspired by like Peaches? Do you know Peaches?
Yeah, I love Peaches.
Yeah.
I saw Peaches and Butthole Surfers at Stubbs 2008.
Oh, wow.
On Halloween, I want to say. And like, which is a weird lineup. But like Peaches came out. She was like wearing floaties and just like walking like into the crowd. And I was just like, I want that,
yeah.
You know, like, so yeah, Peaches. I mean, I think a strong female like energy and like personas is like what I've been really influenced by, like Missy Elliott, Lil' Kim, you know, Courtney Love, Alanis Morissette, the Indigo Girls, like that sort of like connected, I guess, like, I mean, it's not all aggressive, but I think like the powerful women doing music, you know, like that is something that like I feel like I harness, you know, and it comes through in my music for sure, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that as well. I've been influenced by a lot of men, but definitely like there are very strong women, some that I've become very close to that have influenced me throughout the years since I was a teenager, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. My mom, you know, like I didn't have like lullabies sung to me. Like my mom used to sing me like Stevie Nicks.
Oh, awesome. Song.
You know,
yeah.
So I'm just like, great mom. It's like, I'm gay now. You sang Stevie Nicks to me. I'm a gay witch and that's all your fault.
Well, there's I think something also a little Chrissy Hynde about it too. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that there's, I don't know. I feel like I draw influence from a lot of different places. And I think that the album and my music in general, like reflects that.
Yeah.
But, I definitely feel like I'm more influenced by women and, you know, like I said before, like Lil' Kim, Missy Elliott, that sort of like aggressive, you know, sort of energy. But, it's great.
Well, I think you're rapping is amazing. And I love this record a lot. Like, I'm just really glad you're an artist out there making music. Cause I feel like you're not just making music for people to listen to. You can be a transformative artist that gives people courage in what they do. Much like, do you know Carrie Fussell from Calliope Musicals?
Oh yeah.
There's something about when you watch the crowd, when they're watching her, she's giving them something that regular music does. She's given them the key to open the door to go somewhere.
And I saw them play for the first time, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And I just was like, this is what this is supposed to be. This is what music is supposed to be.
Yeah.
This is what live performance is supposed to be. It's supposed to be interactive and fun. And like, you know, yeah, I just remember being like, this band is solid.
Yeah.
You know,
and emotionally like, transformative for the audience. You know what I mean? Like they go through something.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, gosh, like if that's like, if there's any goals that I would want for my own, you know, like music, is that people leave feeling different and being transformed by the energy, and you know, or maybe are thinking about something, you know, or have been given permission to be something that they felt like they couldn't, you
exactly.
know, like, you know, like I think it's like that's such a powerful spiritual thing, you know, about music is like, you know, I feel like we are magicians in a way,
yeah.
you know, like,
yeah.
transforming and changing people with our spells that and incantations, you know,
exactly.
Like, really cool, you know.
Yeah, I wish I was in Santa Cruz,
dude.
I'm just looking out your window, like Shit.
It's like super, I know. Like the sun's like, it's like, man, I'm surfing.
What are you going to do the rest of the day? You going to eat seafood?
I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to go down to the beach. I got to go. I got to go to the studio and like do some live stream, like pre-recording stuff. But then, I have my board here. So I'm probably just going to like try and bomb some hills and like drink some coffee.
Hang out. Wait, you know. When you say board, this is also how unhip I am. Do you mean skateboard?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So skateboarding is a huge part of like, I don't know, my, I don't know. I grew up skateboarding. Skateboarding since I was 5 years old, you know.
Seems like that's where probably the punk, right? That's where you heard punk music for the first time and thrash the first time and shit like that.
Yeah. I mean, skateboarding and also just being like a queer, just being a queer weirdo, you know, not feeling I could fit into anything, you know, like my skateboarder friends were just like, you know, from the land of misfit toys, you know, everybody was different and unique in their own way. But like, you know, these like, you know, skateboarding was like you versus you.
Yeah.
Not you, somebody else. And it was just like, you know, so you could just like hang out with people and it not be a competition.
Right. Yeah. There's something about that also, like being an artist among other artists, like you find your people and you, you connect with them and they're, you know what I mean? And it's like a giant island of misfit toys.
Yeah, no, totally. And that's what I feel like moving to Austin. Like I've had amazing, you know, friends in San Antonio and, artist friends, but I'm really stoked to like, I'm stoked to connect with more artists in Austin, you know, and to kind of build more community there. Like I feel like I have a great community of friends there, like, you know, Pleasure Venom. Those folks are like really, really close to me. And Caleb and Casper, you know, and there's just, there's a really amazing, they're really amazing artists in Austin, you know, and like, I want to continue to feel challenged and encouraged and, you know, like I want to be better and grow, you know, and that's partly why I moved, you know, to Austin, you know? So, I definitely feel good. It feels like as much as I love San Antonio, it feels like, feels like a breath of fresh air to be in Austin, sure, you know?
Well, man, we should grab a coffee or something sometime at a safe place.
I'm down.
Yeah. I'd like to hang out with you.
Yeah, let's hit up like Greater Goods. We're right there. So
yeah, I'm on the other side of the lake, on Riverside.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm on like Willow, like right there. So we'll hit up. Yeah.
Well, people need to listen to this great record, Engulfed in the Marvelous Decay. It'll be out by the time this comes out and they can find you at chrisconde.com.
Yeah.
I'll put links to all that stuff on there. I want to thank Adrian for setting this up. And then we sneakily made it earlier. Hi.
Hi. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's been great talking to you, man.
Yeah. You too. Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah. Woo!
In this, gonna thrive and survive and keep rhyming with all these lines that spit experiences from my own life of rip, yo. Cutting diamond ribs for this time for
that's Chris Conde. Their brand new album Engulfed in the Marvelous Decay is out now. It just came out a couple of weeks ago. What a great, great conversation. I'm looking forward to meeting up and having coffee with them sometime soon with Chris and their fabulous publicist Adrian. And once again, sorry guys for this coming out a day late. I was waylaid by a physical mandatory master cleanse. That's what I'm calling it. Great conversation with Chris. Pick up this album, Engulfed in the Marvelous Decay. Go to chrisconde.com for all of your Chris Conde needs. And gang, while you're out there checking out chrisconde.com, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is you find podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, all those places, new shows. Two shows a week, usually on Tuesdays and Fridays, unless I have an incredible stomach disorder that makes a show come out late like today. All right? I hope you guys all have a great day, great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. It's a gorgeous weekend here in Austin, Texas. Enjoy it and enjoy the rest of this song by the great, talented Chris Conde. Let's get down.
individual negatives, lost them in the medicine, used to be my own nemesis. Finally saw a therapist, walked away from a perilous alcoholic embarrassment. I'm finally free. It's like a freeing is imperative. Look in my eyes now, this is my time now. This is my life and my rhymes now. This is my pride now, this is my light now. This is my day and my night now. This is for right now, this is the cry now. This is how I win the fight now. This is my life now. This is my life now. Look in my eyes now, this is my time now. This is my life and my rhymes now. This is my pride now, this is my light now. This is my day and my night now. This is for right now, this is the cry now. This is how I win the fight now. This is my life now. This is my life now. Come from humble beginnings and met the fate that me nemi was sending me to my ending. Spending all of my ends on the things that would ultimately just leave me feeling so empty. Thinking that I am dead and I can't depend on my head, cause my cerebellum resents me. Game I'm trying to live, so I threw myself off a bridge with the spirit to resurrect me. Now my mission is, lick my lips, spit the gift to uplift these kids, all our tricks and flicks, but we kick and resist the conditioning, all I wish is this, that we reject division and dissonance, yo. Let me end with this, love is powerful, holy and infinite, look in my